morning to all.
Good morning.
Page 25. We're going to begin at the introduction. Someone can pick that up and read the whole. Anybody, introduction.
After spending a few months in Athens without much success, in the spring of AD 50, Paul determined to go to Corinth. He likely walked for about 4 miles south and boarded a ship at Boreas, the seaport of Athens. The ship would have taken him about 50 miles westward to one of the two seaports of Corinth. He disembarked at Cenchrea, about 5 miles east of Corinth on the Agora. Say it again? Okay, thank y'all. Where goods were being loaded and unloaded for trade with the east. Lycaum, a short distance to the west of Corinth, gave the cities access to the Adriatic and westward Rome, Cilicia, Spain. The apostles' trek from Cenchrea to Corinth would hardly have begun before he passed the great temple to the sea god Poseidon. It was surrounded by smaller shrines dedicated to heroes and gods. The apostle may have stopped long enough to look at the starting blocks for athletic contestants, a theater, and a hippodrome for horse races. He was at Isthmia, the site of the best attended games in the Greek world. As he neared Corinth, idolatry was everywhere. Little did he know that for the next 10 years, he would hardly stop thinking about those in Corinth who started his faith. The New Testament has more information about the church at Corinth than any other that Paul established. Two of his longest letters were written to that city, and he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Romans, and possibly Titus from there. It was a fascinating and diverse city, but the church encountered many problems.
Okay. What a good job of pronouncing all them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tell you, in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, I think. I'm telling you. Make you don't want to even read that particular
names,
Chronicles and those books and whatnot. But first of all, we see that Corinth had a lot of gods. They and today there's some gods out there too. Anything that might keep your mind on it more than God is God. How do we know that? Because the Bible teaches us in the commandments is that there shall not be no other God before me. In other words, we're supposed to put God first in everything. But just like back then, we do have gods today. Mm-hmm. And one of the gods, that's the top god is what?
Money.
Money. You know, once again, it's ironic, it's strange, right? That we dig the ore up, the iron, we make the machine, don't we? Man, we make the machine, we cut the tree down, man, we make the paper for the money. We make the money, and then what we do? Turn right around and worship. Ain't that something? You know, but it's something about money, you know. You know, it's something about that God and money. And that's why I think Paul stated it in Timothy, for the love of money. It's not money itself, it's the love of it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some has covered after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with Minnesota Arbor. In other words, that, you know, we covered after it because, you know, you would think he would say, like, lust for, excuse me, expression, for women is the number one. Lust for men is the number one, right? But he didn't say that. He said the number one is lust, the love of money. And really, money, it does something to you, you know. I remember, excuse the expression, but I remember when I was gambling, right? And you know, if you losing, right, it'll make you want to cheat, you know. And you would cheat, right? And people have, and people, you don't know what people got in their pockets around the table, right? But you would sneak, and you know, for that money, you know, and it's like you could never win enough. And just like today, just like the millionaires, it's like you can never have enough. Some people would say that all I need is $1 million. If I could just get $1 million. They get that $1 million, and some about that $1 million make them what? Want more. More and more and more. And every time, you know, you get to that lusting of it, you put God in second place. Okay, rivalry and division. Anybody, read the whole thing, please.
Paul was at Ephesus when he began to hear disturbing news about the church at Corinth. A woman named Chloe may have owned a business that required her extended family or employees to travel between Corinth and Ephesus. Her people brought word that serious divisions were plaguing the church. The King James Version has the house of Chloe. Through the use of italics, the translation indicates the house is not in the Greek. All the Greek indicates is that the people who brought Paul word had some relationship to Chloe. Paul knew that preaching Christ involved more than telling the lost to repent and be baptized. It meant building faithful Christian churches. He wrote to the Corinthians to help them get past feeling, to help them find unity in Christ, and to answer questions they had presented to him.
Okay. Paul, okay. Paul knew the preaching of Christ involved more than telling the lost to repent and be baptized. It meant, you know, building, it meant, you know, more than that, because, you know, we could tell people all day to repent, right? But one of the things about telling people about repent is that we need to check ourselves out too. Have we repented? You know, because there was a guy who got on a young man, right, about doing drugs. And I mean, he really got on this man, you know, and he said, you're wrong, that's wrong, you know, it's wrong. It's just pure wrong, you know, you're just wasting your life away, right? And he actually made the young man feel bad, right? But the thing is, right, he was an adulterer. Who was telling him that he was wrong, right? And sometimes we get to that point, right, where, you know, we want to push it on somebody else, right, but not taking care of ourselves. The Bible teaches, why perceiveth thou the mote in your brother's eye when you have a beam in your own eye, wherein we need to, you know, check ourselves, or we need to examine ourselves, you know, that when we tell somebody about repentance, right, we are an example of repentance. All right, sis, you can go ahead.
The milk Paul had fed the Corinthians included the first principles of the gospel, the identification of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God, faith in him, repentance, confession, and baptism. Perhaps the milk metaphor includes rudimentary teaching about the church, such as when it was to assemble and how it was to worship. New Christians require milk,
But as months and years pass, unless they receive solid food, they will die. The author of Hebrews chides believers who ought to have matured but still had need of milk. Peter admonished, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, once again, we see that, you know, Christians, we become Christians, right? We are babes, but we are to what? Grow. We are mature, you know, mature. We are to get to another level, you know, not to be better than nobody else or wiser or smarter or whatever. You know, just we are to grow in Christ because we're on a course. We're on a course that we have to, you know, we have to keep on. We have to keep moving, and if we're not mature, we're gonna slow ourselves up, and then we're gonna slow up people around us. So we need to, you know, study. We need to do everything that God would have us to do to grow, you know, because we're not supposed to be on milk always. Just like I told you the story about the young man that, like I said, once again, they had a 10th grade thing going on, right? Young man, he just came to 10th grade, but it was another young man who had got left back. And they was arguing about this particular event that happens every year. And they said that they argued back and forth and said it don't happen this time of year, it happens that time. And the other guy said, no, you don't know what you're saying. The young boy said, yes, I do, because such and such and such, right? And it got to the point where the boy said, listen, man, you ain't telling me. Look, I've been in the 10th grade for 3 years. You ain't telling me. Are you with me? How you going to tell me I've been in the 10th grade for 3 years? Are you with me? So sometimes, you know, we, you know, we have to study. You can't get around it. You know, you have to study. And I know, not you now, but a lot of people, they wait on the teacher. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. But we have to be a people who study, who get ahead of things in study. And sometimes when we study, what happens is we can tell if somebody else didn't study, if the teacher didn't study, you know. We could actually tell that, right? Because if he says something wrong, then you're able to what? Correct that and say, excuse me, you know, you said Peter, but it was John. Yeah, mm-hmm. So forth and so on, you know, because you study. You know, and studying is very, very important. Very important. And you know, we don't stay with milk, you know? You know, we grow because one thing about staying in milk, if you're in milk, you can't teach nobody. And God said, go ye therefore. So therefore, we have to go and teach. We have to be apt to teach, able to teach others. We can't just be taught the rest. Go ahead.
It's been, I don't know when or how it came about, but there has been an understanding or unspoken understanding, for lack of better words, that some people believe that when they follow someone or someone's telling somebody something that they didn't know, they don't check behind it. They just take it for granted because they didn't know it from the beginning. And then they believe that person is always right. Mm-hmm. And they will pick up that type of error about them that don't do as I do, mm-hmm. do as I say, mm-hmm. because of the fact that I may have known a little bit more than you did. But as you were saying, if you study, which we're supposed to do, we will grow because when you learn better, you're supposed to do better. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But if you're going to constantly, it's like I come in and I say, well, I don't need to study because Brother Patterson, he's a teacher, he knows everything, mm-hmm. and whatever he said, it's okay. And that has sometimes been the norm in certain churches, and people just take the preacher's word for whatever being said. But when you tell other people about Christ, first thing they're going to do is look at you anyway, because they get the feeling that you're putting them down because you're trying to correct them or you're telling them something they don't know. Mm-hmm. And they're going to trick and try to find some way to bring you down. Mm-hmm. Because, like you gave us the example about the guys you was with on the job, they didn't like you because you wasn't doing what they were doing.
Okay.
If you're not doing what you're telling somebody else, like, you shouldn't do that. This is not moral. You know, you shouldn't live that way. You shouldn't curse. You shouldn't drink. You shouldn't smoke. You should worship God. You should go to church. Then they look at you and say, well, who are you? Mm-hmm. Let me find something wrong with you, so because you know better than me. That's what they want to prove. Not that you're trying to be better than someone else, but if you're trying to follow God's way, you will be better and it will be seen.
And you know, even with Jesus, they tried to bring Jesus down to their level, you know? It's like they try to take away what he know. Mm-hmm. They try to take away what Paul know, what Peter know, and bring him down. You know, they tried them with certain things, you know. And sometimes Jesus would answer, and sometimes he won't. And sometimes they would ask him a question, and he would answer with a question. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many times that do happen, but the other thing you said that, you know, you're coming in. Remember Jim Jones and David Koresh, right?
Yeah.
It was an understanding that the people that they listened to him more than they possibly studied, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like he was the man, you know. And you have to be careful about these people, so-called faith healer, you mm-hmm. know, because people will think that they are the man, mm-hmm. but nobody can heal. Jesus heals,
mm-hmm.
you know. Jesus is the one who does the healing, right? Mm-hmm. But you got people who will make people believe that, you know, I'm the man, you know. You know, you could touch this cloth, you know. I'm going to send you send me $25 and I'm going to send you this cloth. Mm-hmm.
Man.
Right, I'm gonna send you this water. You send me, as much money you send me, the more blessings you gonna get. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna send you this bottle of water. You can anoint things, right? If you stop believing in that, right? Because you know, in my lifetime, I've seen this and I've experienced myself. You can believe in something so much till it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? You know, you can believe it's just like Friday the 13th, right? You could believe in Friday the 13th so much till it's true. Because
mm-hmm.
if something happened, you know, you say it happened because of what?
Friday
the 13th. Are you mm-hmm. in? And you know, we have to be careful about that because you could believe in something so much till it's actually true. But with Jim Jones and David Koresh, you know, when we see the footage, the little footage that they have, you would see these people, they just sitting in you know, in an audience, right? And nobody seemed to have a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? The only Bible is going on is the one that he's holding up and what he's teaching, right? It's like, you know, he's the Savior, he's the man. And they actually believe that because they kill themselves because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Twice that this happened. It may have happened more than once, right? But more than twice, right? But Jim Jones, the people, they kill themselves, and David Koresh, they it's like he said, you know, kill yourself because, you know, so forth and so on. And it was, once again, come on in, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good
morning.
But even though when you said Jesus was the healer, and with everything that Jesus did, he always made it known mm-hmm. that he was doing his Father's work,
mm-hmm.
and everything that he did came from his Father.
Mm-hmm.
He never let them put him up on a pedestal to say, as you said, I am the man, I'm the one, I'm this. I mean, even though when he said, I am divine, he still referred to his Father as being, giving him all power
mm-hmm.
to do what he did. He did nothing of his own, and he took credit for nothing of his own.
Because see, a lot of these guys, they look at Peter and Paul and whatnot. You see, Jesus gave them mm-hmm. through this Holy Spirit. He gave them these powers. Are you with me? But these powers weren't supposed to be given to nobody else. Are you with me? You don't hear about too many people after them healing and waking the dead up and so forth and so on. You don't hear that, right? But the power, it was given to the apostles to do these things, because this was the beginning of the church. The beginning of the church had that power. Are you with me? You know, that particular healing power and so forth and so on. But like I said, you see Jim Jones and you see a lot of, you know, it was a crowd, right? And nobody had no Bible but him. Mm-hmm. You see, David Koresh, he was the only one holding the Bible. Are you with me? And you don't have to hold a Bible and wear a gun. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, that this some kind of way that don't mix. Yeah. Are you with me? But all right, sis, would you please continue?
The silent food Christians are to imbibe includes knowledge from God's self, revelations from Abraham to Moses, from Judges to prophets. Over the centuries, God made himself known. The silent food is the unfolding story of human redemption as God worked the plan out in the nation of Israel. It is knowing the significance of the cross, the nature of his kingdom, and the promise of his return. Solid food includes the great doctrines of the Christian faith. The mark of Christians is their common knowledge and confession of God.
Okay, you see, that solid food is how high your faith is. Is it mustard seed or what is it? You know, what is your faith? Where is it? Where are you? That's what Christ would ask. That's what he asked in the garden. Where are you? Where are we? Where am I right now? Are you with me? If I should be tested, if I should be tested right now, where am I? What would my grade be? You know, if I should be tested right now, you see. My wife, she was a teacher, and there was some time that she gave a what do you call it, a quick test, or what do you call it, a
pop quiz.
Mm-hmm. You know, just to see where everybody was. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Where everybody was, right? And then you would have some who say, well, teacher, you should have told us you was going to give us a pop quiz.
Tell us people the test.
That would have been the pop quiz, right?
Yeah.
You should have told us, and we would have studied. You should have studied what? Anyhow.
Right.
You know, you don't wait for the test. You study before the test. Just like we get ready before Jesus coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because we say that we want to go back with him, so we have to study. We have to, you know, open that book up. We have to pray. We have to study. We have to show ourselves approved unto God. You know, because somebody gonna come and ask us a question, and the first question they may ask, right, is how long you were a Christian, right? You know. I remember when I first started laying brick, right? I wouldn't know. Like, I never, to tell you the truth, I never was. You know, I never tried to be the best. It just wasn't in me, right? But God blessed me with a company. A few years, I was blessed, right? But I never was, you know, because some of those boys, right, they would go out their way to be number one, right? I mean, they would go out of their way, Jerry, to be the number one bricklayer, right? And I would see it, and I said, you know, hey, if that's what you want, you know, go for it, right? And the thing is, right, they would go out their way. You see, go out their way to get that number one position. They just want to be known as, you know, number one. Right, mm-hmm. and they would lie, cheat, and steal to get it. Are you with me? Just to get that number one position, mm-hmm. right? That they needed that number one. You know, they needed to be number one. You know, but me, I just, you know, if I, you know, and the question that they would ask, right? You know, especially if I mess up, right? the question that they would ask, how long you been playing freak? You know, how long you been doing this, right? Mm-hmm. And see, that's the question throughout the ages. How long have you been doing this? I can't tell, you know. Oh, I've been doing this for 20 years, right? Right? Really? Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, really? Right? And you know, and that's in the church also. That's the question. You know, how long, you know, if you ain't showing Christianity, if you're not showing faith, if you're not showing growth, if you're not showing maturity, somebody going to ask you, how long you been in the church? Mm-hmm. And you say, well, man, I was raised up in the church. Okay. You know, really? You know.
You know what I'm saying? But we should all strive to be number one in,
yeah,
in,
yes, sir.
In God's, in God's work.
Exactly.
We represent God in our work.
And I'm glad you said it, because someone just a couple of days ago, they said, you know, well, I'm not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But we strive for perfect. We strive to do better in Christ every day. Yeah. Now, that brick land thing, I admit it. Because, well, you know, now what? What now what? I ain't got no medals. You know, ain't nobody patting me on the back, right? Mm-hmm. I've made some mistakes. Now, but some of my work is pretty. You know, the church over in Colonial Heights Baptist,
right? The big ones?
Yeah. You see that sign out there? You see that sign? They got a sign out there. Mm-hmm. In a, you know, you see it? I had something to do with that. You know, proud of it. Pretty sign. Did y'all know Colonial Heights Baptist, right?
Which one, Mount Pleasant or the one on the Boulevard?
Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You, that sign? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my pretty is on that. You know? Pretty, you know, proud of that, right? But if some I've done it, I don't want to take you there. And I'm not going to tell you about it. I don't want you to even know I was there, right? And hope the people who lived there forgot about me. But anyway, but somebody's going to ask you, how long, you know? Because we're supposed to prove how long we were in Christ. You know, we have to prove, we have to show it. Mm-hmm. Right? It has to be, you know, because first of all, Christ would give us a test. He would throw a test our way to see whether a fire is going to burn that thing up, or what was you building with? Was you building with straw or wood? You remember that with the three little pigs? Mm-hmm. You know, was you building with straw or hay or wood? Right? Are you using good material? You know, metal or brick or whatever, right? And we're going to be tested. Where are we? How long we said? Well, I was born, you know, I raised up. I was baptized when I was 10 years old. And, you know, we sometimes we kind of like boast about that, right? But the evidence don't show that. If the evidence don't show that, then you're still what? On milk. You know, you're not where you're supposed to be. Are you with me? You're not where you're supposed to be. All right, sister, will you please continue?
Going out of their knowledge of God, Christians mold their behavior to His. They become like Him. Solid food is godly living. Mm-hmm. No doubt the Corinthians have failed to grow in their understanding of God. Consequently, they have failed to live in a way that pleased Him. That is why jealousy and strife existed among them. Mm-hmm. That is why they divided up parties, some saying, I am of Paul, others saying, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas. The doctrine of the church had the godly living of Christians. The doctrine of the church and the godly living of Christians are cut from the same piece of cloth.
Mm-hmm. See, some, you know, like some, like this preacher, you know, some like that preacher, some like the other preacher. But what Paul is saying, you could like these preachers, right? But make sure you put God first in liking them. All right, but these people, it's like they was believing what Paul's saying. They were believing what this one say, Apollos and Cephas or whoever, right? So forth and so on. And we could get like that also. We have a main person, a main preacher, right, who we love. And that it seemed like if that preacher make a mistake, it ain't no mistake. Are you with me? If he fall down, you know, and he didn't really fall, you know, somebody tripped him, mm-hmm. you know, and we could get so deep into a person, right? A person, we could get so deep into that person till we start believing in that person so much, just like those people believe in Jim Jones and David Koresh. And we don't want to get there, you know. We want to make sure that our relationship with the Lord is strong. It's holding us together. That's what holding us together. Cephas or Paul, they're not holding us together. They're workers of Christianity. They're workers, right? Just like we are, right? Mm-hmm. But we are not to follow them like we follow Christ, mm-hmm. because they all have made mistakes.
Ken, when it boils down to it, when someone says, I really like this preacher, I really like his style, I really like this program, they really say, he pleases me more.
Yeah.
He's pleasing me more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And forgetting about the message that says that we're all supposed to receive and digest and grow from, like you said, from milk to meat. Mm-hmm. It's basically saying, he just pleases me more. Mm-hmm. I like the style.
Mm-hmm.
I like
his style. Amen. I like his silence. Go ahead.
I remember when I was searching for a church, and growing up, I was always in a Baptist church, and they never taught, or never stressed, that you should carry a Bible, that you should bring your Bible to church, you know, and you just follow what the preacher was saying, you know. How did I know he was teaching me right or wrong? I wasn't reading behind me. They didn't stress that you needed to read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was never taught that. So I thank God for the Church of Christ.
Amen. And just like,
I just want to make comment about what Jerry said. Most people that go with that, they like that preacher or they like that church until they get their toes stepped on. Then it's, oh,
Amen.
No, I got to find somewhere else to go.
Amen.
I'm leaving
here.
Yeah, because
yeah.
He was
all right,
but
mm-hmm.
then the time fell, so I can't go there no more.
Exactly. And see, and that's the test of a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. If you truly a Christian, you know. Go ahead.
I remember a person telling me that if you didn't speak in tongues, you had no way of getting into heaven. Uh-huh. I am so glad that I learned to read my Bible and find out some things that you know, people were telling me just wasn't true. It wasn't scripture.
Could you imagine a preacher get up there and preach that tongue? What that mean, right? You ain't got nothing, right? The only thing you got is how he looked and how the way he was, you know, that you said something. You don't know. What, you know, it's just like if it's a Spanish preacher up there speaking Spanish. None of us out there Spanish, you know. Mi poquito, right? That means me. All right, see? She know what I'm saying, right? But what did I just say? Anybody?
Very little Spanish.
Okay, very little Spanish. Are you ready for it?
You see,
so we got one, two who know, but everybody else, right? Paul said, "I'd rather what? Speak what? In regular words to a little bit of people. Are you with me? Than to speak, you know, in tongues to a whole bunch of folks. Are you with me? He'd rather speak." Where you can understand it, and that's what the gospel is about for us to understand, because we ain't really got time to, you know, to go to, you, all of us can't go to college, you know, and get these things. You know, we don't need that. You know, you don't need to have a doctrine degree to be saved. Amen. You know, where some people will tell you you need to, you know, this, you need that, you need the other, but you don't. You the only thing you need is an understanding. The Bible teaches wisdom is a principal thing. So therefore, get wisdom. But with all that getting, get an understanding.
Yeah.
We need to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? That's what it is. And we don't possibly, if we can't go to college or whatever for us, go. But don't make yourself think that you got to go there mm-hmm. to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks. People who study a lot, they can become boastful because they recognize that other people who aren't studying don't know as much as they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't have a common knowledge of God because they don't discuss it together. And everybody needs to study so that we can all learn the same thing.
Yes, right.
And which will prevent divisions.
That's right. And don't look at down at your brother. You know, if you got to look down at him, that means you're supposed to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? You know, the only time you look down at your brother is when you're trying to, what, pick him up. Are you with me? It ain't that I know it all, you know, because I don't. You know, I'm learning every day, just like you said. You know, every day we're supposed to strive to be better. And it ain't no cutoff point where I know enough. You know, I got enough, you know, and I'm going to heaven with what I know. Amen. But that's not what Jesus is telling us. He says, strive daily. Until you cross that finish line, mm-hmm. you got to run that race.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Right? Until you cross that finish line, you got a course. All right. And someone else, tolerant of sin. Anybody?
Okay. Apparently, Paul had written a letter to the Corinthians before the one we know as 1 Corinthians. In it, he had told them not to associate with immoral people, but they had drawn more from the words than Paul intended. Immoral people were everywhere. How could they function in the workplace or associate with family members or shop in the marketplaces unless they associated with immoral people? Were they to cloister themselves into self-contained communities? Over the centuries, many have maintained that Christians should do precisely that. Monasteries and convents are peopled by those who believe the path to holiness requires isolation from the world.
Okay, we can stop right there. You know, it's just like being married, right? I'm going to use myself as an example, right? Me and Bob is married. We've been married for a while, right? And I'm a player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? And she warned me. Right? He said, Kenny, listen, I love you. Please stop that. Right? And I keep on. Right? She told me, she said, Kenny, you got to stop coming in here at 4 o'clock. All right, honey. So I start coming in at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Are you with her? Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
It's the sinner that keep on sinning because we can't just stop with people because, you know, they got caught in certain, are you with me? Mm-hmm. It's not a stoppage, it's a tolerance. But that person, that individual keeps on, you know, keep on, we have to, what, cut them off. We have to warn them. We have to go to that person and warn them. Like the Bible says, take them, you know, two to two people. You go and speak with that person, or one person speak with him, and then you take him to the church, so forth on. And then if he don't, then we work. That's how what the scripture tells us to do. Not just, you know, I saw Kenny out there. He had two women, right,
mm-hmm.
at the motel, right. We just gonna work, cut him off. Are you with me? Help me, Jerry, if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's what it meant. It meant if you continue, if you on and on and on, on and on and on. And just like I said, Barbara would sooner or later what? Say, get out.
Yeah.
It's over. Are you with me? It's over.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? But to just fall, we gotta, you know, because we have to look at, in other words, we have to look at our brethren just like if it was us who's fallen. Are you with me? You know, we had to look at him just like it was us who was fallen and help that man get up. But if he don't want to get up, we can't make him get up. We can't do right for nobody. Are you with me? People have to do right for themselves, so forth and so on. But anyway, go ahead, continue to read, please.
I have a question quickly.
Yes, ma'am.
It says, apparently Paul had written a letter to the Corinthians. So where's this first letter? Is it not in Corinthians?
Yeah. The Corinthian letter. He wrote to them to warn them. Okay, ask that again.
It says apparently Paul had written a letter to Corinthians before the one we know is First Corinthians.
Uh huh.
So where's this first letter? Is it not in Corinthians?
Y'all gotta help me with that one, because
the letters I think he wrote to Corinthians were because of certain things that they were doing, starting with 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, specific sins that they were committing and not changing. But he could have written letters to them before and could have been telling them, congratulating them on the progress they were made, but that was not in this context. The context that we look at in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is because of things that they were doing that were wrong, and he was trying to correct them about. You understand what I'm saying? But the letter that he wrote before was not a letter of correction. Okay, what we're talking about now is sin and tolerance of sin. So in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it specifically is talking about things that they did that were wrong.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to answer because we don't have that letter.
Okay. Yeah.
But the whole letter that Paul wrote has been captured in the, they call it the canon, the 66.
It would have been the Holy Spirit that decided not to include it.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so she's talking about a letter we don't know about.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So 1 Corinthians is maybe the second, or could even be the third letter that he had actually written to that church, because it's the earliest one. I guess they've named it 1 Corinthians, but it's really not the first letter.
Okay.
Ken,
I got it.
Ken, we have to go back to 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13 to tell them this what you're discussing here. He's talking about two different classifications of people. Mm-hmm. He's talking about people in the world, mm-hmm. and he's talking about Christians. Mm-hmm. But what he's saying here is that a brother, as a fellow Christian, if they sin, then a confrontation, an explanation from them personally is required. Mm-hmm. If they don't repent of that, then you don't have anything to do with them until that repentance is done. Mm-hmm. But in the world, for the same sin, mm-hmm. if we have the ability and the opportunity to say, no, that's not right, mm-hmm. but we don't do any judging at that point.
Exactly.
We don't do any judgment at that point. God judges them at the very end.
Could you imagine, right? I ain't got nothing to do with the world, right? What? I need to go to the hospital. I need a doctor, man. Mm-hmm. And this doctor is not saved. Huh? Mm-hmm. And I know about this doctor. He's all over the place, you know, with sin, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not saved. Right, he's a worldly doc. He's a worldly man, right? But he's a doctor, and I need him. Guess what? You know, he ain't got to be saved. This saved me. Yeah. All right, thank you, Derek. All right, continue, please.
Paul clarifies his meaning to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5:10. Mm-hmm. Christians cannot escape the world. Even if they were to build walls and retreat behind them, mm-hmm. they would bring sin into the compound. Further, when Jesus called Christians the world's light and salt, he implied that they must associate with the world. Jesus himself gathered no band of followers with whom he could retreat into isolation. The Lord gave his followers the more difficult task. He told them to intermingle with the world. They were to be holy while rubbing shoulders with the immoral. immoral, the covetous, and the idolaters. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've heard some say that you know you shouldn't work on Sunday. You heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I heard some say you shouldn't work on Saturday, right? Think of this, right? If we lived up to that particular thing, right? Think about this, right? Sunday, nobody's working, right? And a burglar break into our house. We can't call the police because what?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's working. Mm-hmm. If we get sick, we can't go to the doctor because what?
Nobody's
working. If we can, if our house catches on fire, right? Mm-hmm. We can't call, you know. So that, you know, Jesus came and he done some things on the Sabbath, mm-hmm. remember?
Mm-hmm.
To help us to understand that if you got something to do on that particular day, you gonna have to do it. You know, Jesus came with the new covenant, the new covenant, all right? And we don't have to think about, well, you know, I don't want no, you know, I'm married, but I don't want to work on Sunday, right? The Church of Christ, praise be to God, we had it going on for a while with the Sunday morning and the Sunday evening. That was very much helpful, mm-hmm. you know, because people who work on Sunday morning, they could come Sunday evening. That was very helpful. God willing, we should get back into that. Are you with me? You know, and you know, it's a scary thing now. Honestly, right? Honestly, it is, right? Especially during the winter days when it's dark. It's a scary thing because, you know, because people coming in and shooting up folks and stuff. It's scary, right? So, you know, if we, you know, we could fix that, right? You know, we could fix that. I know it's hard to lock that door, but I'm going to tell you, you know, I've learned something, right? My faith is for me, right? My faith is for not nobody else. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not stepping on nobody's toes, and please hear me, please, right? But this, like, if my faith said, like, I don't want this to happen, you know, the doors to be locked, right? That's my faith, but I got to look at what?
Amen.
Everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? You know, and I got to see what they want. See what everybody wants. You know, so forth and so on. But I pray and hope that we could get to that point, and you know, having, you know, just to help out, you know, because there are people who want to come to church in the evenings. They want to come, you know, they want to worship, but they can't because there ain't no place to go now. You know, unless they go to another congregation, and they're gonna have to be a member of that congregation because they just can't go to that congregation. Are you with me? It won't seem right, whatnot, right? We're going to finish this, and then this time is up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just finish this particular one. Go ahead.
When Paul told the Corinthians not to associate with the immoral, he was talking about the immoral who professed Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If a brother refused the admonition of the church and persisted in sin, the church was to remove him from their fellowship. The sins Paul lists are sobering. Rarely do modern churches discipline members even for immorality or drunkenness. Perhaps a reviler would include a person who stirs up dissension and causes divisions. Occasionally, such a person is disciplined, but one never hears of a church that refused to associate with a person who was covetous or a swindler. When money becomes our God and capitalism our creed, those whose sins are economic are likely to be praised. Christians are likely to say to them, "You sit here in a good place." When Paul calls on the Corinthians to refuse fellowship with a brother who lived in sin, he was acknowledging the interdependence of the Christian community. To put on Christ is to share in a family. What each member of the family does, whether good or evil, to some degree defines the whole. To extend their fellowship to a person who is immoral or a swindler is an endorsement of how he lives. The behavior of every Christian defines what the church is and what it stands for. To put on Christ requires that one be willing to hear and to heed the admonition of brothers and sisters.
Okay. We shall continue. We shall continue with that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for your angels. We thank you for your church. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you, God, for this morning that you've given us. We thank you, God, for this class, God, that you've allowed us to have. We pray that everything done in this class made us better and what we have done in your sight, God, is good. God, we ask for forgiveness of all our sins. Help us right now to remove any and everything that might hinder our worship service. Bless our ears of hearing, hearts of receiving, and we'll soon be. In Christ's name, we thank you and we pray. Amen.
Amen.